Yesterday we focused on the story of Jesus being physically raised from the earth into the heavens. But before that happened, right before that happened, the very last thing that Jesus told his followers was this. Wait. Wait. Wait in Jerusalem for the gift God has promised. In a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they went back to the room that they had been renting and they waited and they prayed and they took care of some business. They replaced, they named another apostle to take Judas's place. And for 10 days they waited and they prayed. And maybe they wondered what this gift of the Holy Spirit was really going to be like. How would they be filled? What would it be like to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? I like how Pastor Barbara Brown Taylor puts it. She imagines them asking, how will we know when the Holy Spirit comes? Will it tingle? Will it hurt? What will it really like to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? And then the day of Pentecost came. Pentecost was an annual feast day for Jews. It was where people from all over the nation and all over the world actually came to Jerusalem with the first part of their crops to give thanks to God. It was a sacred act of giving thanks. That was Pentecost. Jerusalem was filled and busy. People were from all over, everywhere, all coming for this celebration. And Jesus' followers had been staying in this rented, we think, an upper room, but now because they had grown from being 12 to about 120 and growing, they moved to a larger place, probably on street level. And while they were together in that place, as we heard in the story today, in the reading, suddenly there was wind that came. Acts 2:2, a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. We know about wind here in Minnesota. We know about how you have to lean into it as you walk. So I picture that kind of wind, like tablecloths flapping and things flying through the air, that type of wind. And then with the wind, after the wind, there came the flames. We heard that in what was read. Tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each one of them, flickers over their heads, maybe not quite lighting their hair on fire, but close. With the wind and the flames, then came the Holy Spirit. Gushing into the room, whoosh, gushing into each one of their lives. And suddenly they began to talk. One spoke in one language, one spoke in another language, but none of the languages they had spoken were languages that they had spoken before. To quote Barbara Brown Taylor again, she imagines being like a room full of bagpipes all going off at once. Imagine that noise. Now that would gather a crowd. But this crowd that gathered around them wasn't just Hebrew-speaking Jews. It was much more than that. We heard the list of languages, of people groups. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Cappadocians, people from Pontus, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and elsewhere. Words that are unfamiliar to our tongues. And I think the reason for listing all these different nations and people groups is to drive in a point. That the world was right there on that Pentecost day. People from north, south, east, and west, different skin colors, different backgrounds, different languages, all together in this one place, packing around these disciples who were telling the story of Jesus. It's the very thing he told them before he ascended to heaven. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the ends of the earth had now come here. Part of what they heard, part of what they also heard, other than all the different languages, was Peter's very first sermon ever. Peter, we remember, he was a fisherman by trade. He wasn't a public speaker. He was rough around the edges, impetuous, brash. And Peter had also been broken by failure. He's the one who denied having met Jesus the night when he was arrested and was beaten before his crucifixion. And now he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was preaching to this global mix of a crowd, and part of what he preached came from the prophet Joel from centuries before. We heard this a little while ago. Through Joel, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people, on your sons and daughters, on the young and the old. on women and men. There will be visions and dreams. And my word will pour out of these people. And everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's where the reading ended this morning. But Peter's sermon, of course, went on from there. And when he finished preaching, we read these words in Acts that his words cut people to the heart. They broke through layers of stuff people were carrying, like stuff that we carry. And people called out to him from the crowds, "What should we do? What should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's for you, and it's for your children, and your grandchildren, and for people who are way out there. It's for everyone and everyone, everyone and anyone, anywhere. My presence." And what happened next is amazing. In that diverse mix of languages and skin colors and ethnicities, that day 3,000 people stepped forward and were baptized. And their lives are changed. 3,000 people right then, right there on that day. And the story rolls forward, of course, through Acts. By the end of Acts 2, we read that every day this happened. More and more people came to Christ. More and more lives were changed. And if you keep reading through Acts, you see that it keeps on rolling like this. First the apostles, then the 120, and then these people on Pentecost, and then more and more and more. Here's how one author described it. Shy people became bold. Scared people became gutsy. And lost people found a sure sense of direction. When they opened their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus. When they laid their hands upon the sick, it was as if Jesus himself had touched them. In short order, they were doing things they'd never seen anyone but Jesus do. And there was no explanation for it except that they had dared to inhale on the day of Pentecost. They had inhaled God's own breath, the Holy Spirit, and they'd been transformed. And so we need to ask, do we still believe that God does this? I mean, really, among us, here? Do we believe that God can act in this type of powerful way, transforming lives? Of course, that day on Pentecost, so many years ago, it was wholly unique. It was such a beautiful combination of all things converging together. The gush of the Holy Spirit, wind, flame, languages, people from across the world all intersecting right then, right there. The time was right, the ground was ready, and God did something public and spectacular. 3,000 baptisms. Right there, right then. So while Pentecost, that day of Pentecost, was wholly unique, as I said last week, and as I've said before, the gift of the Holy Spirit has not been withdrawn. There's no shelf life or use-by date with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present and is active and still comes to those who receive, who are open. It doesn't have to be about gushing winds. It doesn't have to be with flickering flames and breaking into different languages. It has to do with receiving, about being open, inviting this, humbly asking for it. And the way God chooses to move, dramatically or subtly, that's not the main point. It'd be phenomenal if God did something dramatic like that among us, wouldn't it? I mean, please, do this. But the main point is this. God can and does change lives. God can and does change lives. God can make us into different people. Now, there's a story tucked into the Old Testament in 1 Samuel about Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. He wasn't looking to be king, but Samuel, by way of God, Samuel anointed him, called him out, and anointed him to be the first king. To confirm God's anointing of Saul, Samuel told him to go for a walk. To walk to three different towns. And when he got to the third town, he would see these prophets coming down a hill prophesying, and with them would be people playing instruments. And Samuel told Saul, when you see them, the Spirit of God will come on you in power, and you'll be changed into a different person. And he was. Right there, right then. And if you know the story, Saul's life after that is a mixed bag. Ego and pride led to his downfall. But the Holy Spirit had in fact come upon him, and he became a different person. I mention this because of that statement of Samuel to Saul. The Spirit of God will come upon you in power, and you will be changed into a different person. What would that be like for us? For me? For you? How might you or I be changed? What might the Holy Spirit do, actually? Only God knows. It may be a subtle change, or it may be an enormous change. It could come slowly, or it could be a sudden 180. How and what God might change in us, the ways in which God does this, that's up to God. But we also have a role in this, don't we? Our own willingness for God to change us or not. Because we all know that we can resist God. We can say no. We can turn away. And we often do resist. Sometimes our no is more like this. Well, I don't want any more change. Not right now anyway. I've had enough change. Or it might be, I don't want to change very much because I'm used to the way I am. But that's like putting our foot on the brakes. And that might be something we need to let go of. Because God can change us into different people, giving us a heart change and a sight change, giving us new ways of sensing and seeing this world all around us, living from a perspective fueled by God's Word and by God's presence, sensing and seeing life that reflects the way Jesus did, and then doing everything we can by God's grace to live that way. Heart change and sight change. That's what happened to these people at Pentecost. And that's what happens with us when in completely honest and open ways, when we ask God to poke around in us, to poke around in those deeper areas and those resisting areas and those areas that we don't want changed, to ask God, do what you need to do. It means coming to God, even right now, and saying, do what you need to do, please. Change what you need to change. Change how I see things, how I hear things, how I respond, how I react. God, do whatever you need to do. My foot is off the brakes. And that's actually my own rephrasing of the prayer at the end of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, any offensive way, and lead me in the way everlasting. Prayed honestly and openly, prayed with hope, maybe even prayed with desperation. This opens us to the Holy Spirit. And we'll know when the Holy Spirit moves. Even subtly, because it's not from us. It's from God. Here's how one author describes it. Whenever you find yourself speaking with an eloquence that you know you do not have, or offering forgiveness you had not meant to offer, or whenever you find yourself taking risks you thought you did not have the courage to take, or reaching out to someone you had intended to walk away from, you can be pretty sure that you're learning from the Holy Spirit. People, let's be changed like that. Let's be changed like that. If God wants to bring wind and fire, yes. If God wants us to break out in different languages, yes. If God wants to do something overwhelmingly dramatic, yes. But in an ongoing way, day by day, let's ask the Holy Spirit to do this with us. To change us into people who know deep inside our cores that we are forgiven, and then to offer forgiveness to others in Jesus' name. To know deep in our core that we are loved, and then to shower people around us with love, even people we maybe have not liked. And to know that we are people who have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ by nothing that we have done, but comes as a gift, and then to live in reconciliation with this world around us. To be peacemakers and bridge builders and compassion givers. May God grow this in us, whether it's subtle or dramatic. And like those people coming to Jerusalem on Pentecost, from all over the world, thanking God for what was growing in their harvest. May these be like crops growing in us, showing grace, offering forgiveness, showering people with love, and letting this broken world know that we are people who know Jesus and who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, however God gives it. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that we know we take our lead from Jesus, not from the world around us. As tempting as that is, as often as we do that, but we take our lead from Jesus, fueled by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit who pours power into us and on us and on our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, our neighbors and friends. It's all about God's doing, but it includes us simply saying, yes, make me into a different person. As Samuel said to Saul, the Spirit of the Lord will come on you in power and you will be changed into a different person. Let's not say no to that. Instead, let's say yes. 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 Come, Spirit, come. Fill us. Change us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we're here to worship you. And to ask you, to invite you to do these things in us, a heart change, a sight change. Do new things in us, in how we sense and see the world, and how we move through each day and each interaction, and in the deep inner workings of our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit freshly upon us. Fill us with a refreshed desire to be changed in every good way that you desire us to be changed. Rekindle in us a genuine sense of joy about being your people, and to be people who have really good news to share with this complicated world, even with this very neighborhood, this world where the ends of the earth are right here and we are part of it. Move upon us and within us, all by your grace. We pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.